all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today John Gardner, a retired Master Sergeant from the United States Air Force. John, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're
it's great to be on.
Yeah, we're glad to have somebody with your experience. Maybe you can provide some pearls of wisdom here. You served 24 years or so in the United States Air Force, and then now are in the business world. You're the manager of the Veterans Program Initiative for Roush Industries, which is a very diversified company. We'll talk about it a little bit, but before we do, let's start with how did a nice guy like you end up in the Air Force for 24 years?
Great question. You know, I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. I was just a young guy growing up. Was a pretty good student, but not very serious about like going to college. And so, you know, back then my parents, it was either one or two things. You either were going to go to school and get a degree, or you were going to go into the military. I chose the latter, and you know, off my career went. I truly believe that, you know, had I went to college, I wasn't prepared mentally to do what it took to finish the bachelor's up in 4 or 5 years. But the military provided some structure for me early on in my life, and it very well helped me to be where I am today.
Well, John, did the family have a history of military service when you were given those two choices? You know, were they trying to nudge you one way or the other?
You know, not my immediate family, but I did have some folks in on my mom's side of the family. My granddad was a World War II vet. I had some uncles that served on my dad's side, and so, you know, like not close to me, but I did know that my family had some history. But like my dad never served, my mom never served, but I think that, you know, like most parents back then, you know, they saw the military as an outlet to get away from like the situation that I was in growing up in inner city Cleveland, just an outlet to better myself.
Well, you certainly took advantage of that. We'll talk about your military career in a moment, but since we're talking about this, the educational choice, do I go in the military or do I go to college? Mm-hmm. You know, I give a lot of credit to guys like you who could recognize, hey, I'm not ready now, but I need to do it. And
absolutely.
Veteran radio listeners, we're talking to somebody who went so far as to get a master's degree
right.
from Central Michigan University. But you started, I think, the way many kids ought to start, which is, in this instance, you went to the Community College of the Air Force before getting your bachelor's from Ashford University. Talk a little bit about that inner drive to keep getting the education, notwithstanding you were in a good spot in the Air Force with good pay and all the responsibilities that go with it.
Right. Well, one of the good things about the military is it's kind of competitive. You have to compete for your rank. And as I was going through my career, you know, even though I knew that school was important, you know, it never really hit me until it was almost time to get out. And that's when I said, you know, I have to still be competitive when I get out of the military for some of the jobs that I would want to go to and compete for. And so those required education, and that's why I was one of those guys who got my education later on in life. And truly, I do believe this. Had I tried to do it when I was younger, I probably would have discouraged myself and maybe never went back to school. But then when I did go as an adult, I was more focused. I knew what I wanted. I knew the career path that I wanted to take when I got out of the military. And so that was something that helped me get my mind right around the education piece. Quite a few veterans join the military, and they never take any classes. They don't take advantage of the educational benefits. But I do believe that it is something that you should do when you're in, and even when you get out. You know, it's something like if you have that competitive spirit, you know where you want to go as far as your career. The educational background is something that you definitely should take advantage of, especially with our military programs, with the GI Bill, post 9-1-1, those types of things. You can get your education as a more seasoned professional, and I think you will appreciate it a little bit more than you would have when you were 18, 19, 20 years old.
So you listen to the master sergeant here. He's giving you good advice. So let's
and that served me well.
Let's talk a little bit about maybe at the end of your 24 years, tell us what sorts of assignments that you had over that period of time.
Yeah, so one of the things that I remembered about joining the military was my recruiter and how he made that transition from the civilian world into the military very easy for me. He gave me all of the information, and I made an informed decision based off of the things that he told me, and I trusted him. And I remember as a young man, when I first joined, I would always say, one day I'm going to go back and be a recruiter like my recruiter. His name was Staff Sergeant Dixon. I still remember the guy. It's just almost 30 years. Matter of fact, 30 years to the day. I joined the military, 30 September 1988. So here we are 30 years later, and I can still remember that gentleman's name. And over my career, I would always say, I'm going to go back and be a recruiter. I'm going to go back and help others who were like me. And when I got closer to the end of my career, you know, I guess I was thinking selfishly because I wanted to help folks, but also selfishly I was thinking like I wanted to be somewhere where I would want to live. And so I used the recruiting world to take care of both things. I was able to help some high school students as well as some college graduates join the Air Force as enlisted folks, and then also some pilots and engineers and those types of things. So that is what kind of led me to where I am today. I spent the last 9 years of my 24 as an Air Force recruiter. And I learned, like, when you're a person that's talking to folks about career paths and career choices, like, when you're being honest with them and you're giving good factual information, it makes their transition easy. And I took the same approach, the way that I recruited high school students, as far as from dealing with parents and letting them know the information, helping kids pick career choices that were going to be best for them in the military and outside of the military. And I took that into the world that I'm in today. And that's one of the best things about working for a company like Roush, is I get to try to help people join a great company the same way I did with folks joining the great Air Force.
Before we get to talking specifically about Roush, I think there's some wisdom that I want to pass along based on your career experiences, because you were the Veterans Service Department Director for Wayne County, mm-hmm. Michigan for a few years, and then you had the opportunity to work for a great Detroit-based company, Quicken Loans, for mm-hmm. a few years before moving on to Roush earlier here in 2018.
Right.
And I think one of the things that military members have a challenge with when they get out is this idea of moving from job to job till you find the one that's right for you.
Right.
And talk a little bit about what you saw in those other jobs that were attractive, but also why moving around is an okay thing too.
Absolutely. So for a person like myself who had did 24 years, I think that when I retired in 2012, my first job was with Quicken Loans. I had a great time at that company. We did some pretty cool things as far as around the veteran hiring space. I think the thing that I realized there, and this is from being around my civilian counterparts who worked with me, I think the thing that I realized was, you know, being in the civilian world is not the same as the military. In the military, you have your set day, you have your set career, you know, whether you're going to do 4 years or 8 years, 12, 15, 20, 24, 30, you know what you're going to be doing every day. And you pretty much stick with that. there, of course, there's some career changes while you're in the military, but pretty much you know you're going to be serving in the military. When I got out, my first job was at Quicken Loans, and I actually thought that I would be there for another 24 to 30 years. And nothing against that company. It's a great company. But what I did learn was to get to a point where you were doing more and helping more, you had to move. You know, when I transitioned from Quicken Loans HR hiring vets at that company, then I was still in the veteran space, but I went to work for Wayne County, and that was more on the servicing side. So we were helping folks who, you know, maybe were down on their luck. They needed help with bills, DTE bills, energy bills, maybe help on their rent. And then we were trying to help those veterans who maybe had gotten down on their luck. We were trying to help bring them back up. So the servicing industry is totally different from the hiring world. And then that was also a political appointed position. So that was totally different. Even though I was still helping veterans and doing everything that I could to help veterans, their family members, and that type of thing, it was totally different than the hiring world. I recognized that earlier in my first job out of the military that you have to move around to learn different things. And so when I was at Wayne County, I did that job for about 3 years. You know, I had a longing because I missed the hiring world. I think that is really truly where my passion was. But one of the things that I learned while I was working for the county was I learned that veterans is more than just a veteran. It's the family member. It's the dependent. It's the wife. It's the husband. If the husband is the spouse, you're trying to help family members just as well as you try to help the vet.
Well, I think that's, you know, you hit on the point. You know, we go into service and we put the uniform on every day, and we're, you know, our team is the Air Force or the Navy, the Army, Marines. When you get out, it feels a little disloyal to switch teams and move careers, but that's kind of normal in the civilian world, and you have to be comfortable with that, don't you?
It's most definitely normal, and I believe, you know, and this is from personal experience, I believe that you become a better worker, leader, a better employee because you have worked in different areas for different companies, and you'll bring experiences that you've learned in those other places to your new job.
There's another issue that you've sort of touched on as you talked about moving from sort of the hiring world to the service world, still in the overall veteran world, and some of that comes out of networking, I suppose. And again, there's talk a little bit about the big difference of networking as it relates in the civilian world, as maybe there's a little less emphasis on networking in the military world.
Right. So when you're in the military, when you move from base to base, you really only deal with the folks on that base that you're where you're stationed at. Whether you're there 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, you know, once you leave, you move to another whole base. And you know, I never did this, but I think that this is typical of military members. You kind of forget the folks that you left, because you're now here. You've moved from sunny Florida to wintry Michigan. So you kind of forget those folks that you left back in Florida, but now you're here in Michigan, and you're really only dealing with the folks that you're here, that you're stationed with now. When you compare that to the civilian world, it's a little different, because you should never forget anyone that you have come in contact when you've had some positive experiences or some negative experiences, because you could always come back to that person, whether it's for a job, whether it's for a recommendation, whether it's just to learn something different about how someone else does at a company that you were last at, or, you know, that type of thing. Now, it's funny, my jobs that I have been in since I've retired from the military, they all came from networking. When I heard about the Quicken Loans job, oddly enough, there was a lady who was working there who actually went to high school with my wife. That lady, her husband was a vet, and we used to talk about veteran things and veteran issues and that type of thing, but she was working at Quicken Loans, and at the time, Quicken Loans was saying, hey, we want to start a veteran hiring program. We don't know how to go about it. We don't know what to do. We don't know who to talk to. And this lady said, hey, I got a friend of mine. Her husband's about to retire from the military in like 3 months. And they said, well, we'd like to talk to him. And that's how I got an interview.
I really think that's one of the skills that folks coming out of the military are a little lacking in, is that networking ability.
Yes.
in the geographic network where they're going to reside, right? They haven't spent, maybe they spent the last 8 or 12 years moving around from base to base across the country, mm-hmm. and being overseas, but that means that that's 8 years that they didn't develop ties through Little League and
right.
church and service clubs and PTA meetings where they're networking those opportunities. So I think it's really important for them to realize, hey, I got to work on my networking skills. And certainly that's what you saw as it really helped you
yes.
along the way, didn't it?
Each job that I've had, and of course now I apply for these positions and I competed and I interviewed and I was fortunate to receive the job offer. But initially there was some networking involved. Even when I went to become director of veteran services for Wayne County, my name was out there so much and I was connected to so many people, doing what I was doing for the first company. The opportunity for Wayne County came up and I actually knew the guy who was in the job. And when he decided to leave, you know, I'm assuming that maybe he threw my name to someone and I received a phone call saying, hey, this position is going to be opening up. We'd like for you to apply for it. And these are the dates it's going to be open. And when it was open, I applied, and I want to say that they maybe interviewed about 5 other folks, and I got the job. But had I not networked with the person prior to me, had I not networked with some folks who were in the veteran community, I would have never heard about that position. And it's the same with the one that I'm in now. I was actually speaking at I was working for Quicken Loans at the time, and I was speaking at a career event where I was talking about building a veteran hiring program and the do's and don'ts and some of the mistakes that I had made at Quicken Loans and some of the wins that we had gained over the years. And the company that I work for now, they were there at that event. The director of HR was at the event, and she heard me speak. And so, I mean, I just, after my event, after I spoke, I talked to her for about 45 minutes afterwards, and we talked about veteran hiring, and you know, I recommended to her. I was actually doing some consulting work, and I didn't realize it, but I recommended to her. I said, hey, you need to hire a military veteran, someone who has retired from the military, who has some experience, someone who can go on a military base and command some attention around folks who are transitioning. You need to hire someone like that. And so she took my advice, and they hired someone. And so her and I, we kept in touch over the years. And it just so happened that, you know, the guy who was in the job before me, when he decided to leave, you know, she reached out to me and said, hey, you know, this position is going to be opening up. We'd like for you to apply. Same type of thing. And so I wasn't looking for a job at the time, but I did miss the hiring world, and I applied for the position. I came over and interviewed. I want to say they had about 5 or 6 candidates that they were looking at. And here I am today. So the networking piece does help out a lot, and it is. And you're right, to your point. You know, as veterans, we do need to learn to use our networks to help us move forward in careers outside of the military. It's a huge thing.
And there is a big veteran network of employers, entrepreneurs, just guys in business who
right.
will help out a veteran at a drop of a hat. And I think that's stronger today than it was a decade ago. But you do have to ask. You do have to, you know, yourself get out and get motivated, talk to folks and say, hey, I'm interested in this area or that space. Do you know anybody, any other veteran who might be in that space I can talk to? And you'll be surprised at how many people are willing to help. But let's talk about Roush now. It's a you know, a really cool company that's been doing great things for years. But why don't you tell our veteran listening audience here, Master Sergeant John Gardner, who's now the HR manager for the Veteran Program Initiative, about the company and about your program.
Sure. Roush is a major company in the automotive industry. But there's quite a few entities that fall up under the Roush umbrella. We have Roush Yates Racing. We have Roush Industries, which is who I work for, but we work closely with Roush Yates Racing. What we're looking to do is we're looking to help veterans that are transitioning from the military, as well as the ones who have been out for a little while. We're looking for folks in the mechanical area. We're looking for engineers. We do some pretty cool things. We do engineering of vehicles. We do fabrication. We also do prefabrication for future vehicles. So pretty cool company that has a large, huge range of things that we do. Some I can talk about, some I can't. But cool company that are looking to hire vets. And since the inception of our program a few years ago, we've hired close to 400 vets.
Wow, that's great success. John, you know, Roush is involved, as you say, in automotive, but it's also aerospace and defense. And a lot of, I guess, what I would call innovative or creative areas. So we would encourage anybody who kind of has that mechanical manufacturing aptitude and who's got some innovative, creative sparks in them to go check you guys out. What's the website for that?
Anyone who's interested in applying for a position with us, they can go to Roush.com, and you can just link to our careers page on there, or they can contact me. You can shoot me an email at john.gardner, J-O-H-N, dot G-A-R-D-N-E-R, at Roush.com. One of the cool things about my job is, you know, a vet just doesn't have to apply. They can work with me. I can do resume review. I can do some interview tips. I can kind of talk to them off the record, not off the record, but just kind of talk to them about the position that they're interested in, give them some background information. That's one of the cool things that everyone else doesn't get, right? So if you send me your resume and I take a look at it and I understand the position that you're applying for, I can maybe give you a call and say, hey, listen, you know, I noticed that you have on your resume that you've done this, but this position, it requires this skill set. Do you have that? And sometimes because we're so modest as vets, we may not put down everything that we've done. But if I can tell you, like, hey, you left this one particular thing off and this is going to be something that's going to help you get an interview, I need you to put that back on. I'd forward the email, the resume back to them, they fix that, and then they send it back to me, and then I'll tell them, hey, go ahead and apply. So it's some behind-the-scenes work that is being done to help our veterans get an opportunity, but I love that part of the job just as well as I do traveling to different bases and doing transition fairs. I love the one-on-one contact with someone who's like me, because I do recall that feeling when I was getting ready to get out of the military and I hadn't done any job interviews, I hadn't worked on a resume or anything like that. And, you know, when you've been successful, you're kind of nervous because you're thinking, I have to get out and be able to take care of myself and my family, and I may need a little help. And that's what I'm here for.
Well, this is great advice, and you're right. You've spent a lot of time in the military, you've been successful, and it's easy to feel like, what do you mean I got to prove myself again? But it's a whole new set of experiences, and I think oftentimes we hear about veterans who don't know how to translate their military experience into the job classifications or duties or type of work experience that the civilian world is looking for. So your ability to coach and help is invaluable, I would think, in that regards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I thoroughly enjoy it.
Well, that passion comes through from a guy who spent 9 years as a recruiter. You can tell you're a people person and you want to make the link between the individual and the organization and help them see the value of each other. That's clear, John, and I can see why Roush is happy to have you. As we come towards the end here, tell us a little bit about, you know, all this experience that you have. Why do you think, and maybe why does Roush think, veterans make good employees?
You know, we talk about soft skills all the time. That's a buzzword that's thrown around a bunch, right? But it's true. Like, the soft skills is what really make veteran employees the best? One, we're going to be loyal, right? You give us an opportunity, especially when we felt like no one else would give us an opportunity. You give us an opportunity, we're going to come and we're going to be loyal and we're going to work as hard as we can for you because you took care of us and you gave us an opportunity. Veterans are going to come to work on time. I mean, it's in us. You know, we're going to get up every day. You know, like for me, I wake up every day without an alarm clock, and I'm here every day. And I enjoy my job so much that it doesn't matter what needs to be done, I'm going to do it, right? So veterans bring that aspect, too. Veterans are respectful. Veterans work well with teams. And, you know, this is a team-oriented company. So it's those soft skills like that. Besides the technical skills, the soft skills is what makes veterans great employees, not just for Roush, but for any company. In any industry, veterans bring a certain skill set, and they actually, and I should say we actually will make a team better because if there are some folks who may not work well with teams, they can learn from someone who has been in the military what it's like to work as a team. You know, they can learn from someone who has been in the military what it's like to be respectful of not just your leader, but also your peers. So it's those small things that, you know, as veterans, when we come to an organization, we make that organization better. And, well, I believe that's one of the reasons why a company like Roush would love to continue hiring veterans the way we do.
I think it's important for veterans to hear that because, and you're getting this from retired Master Sergeant John Gardner, who's in HR at Roush, but has experience in front of that as well in the HR area. It's important to hear this, John, because I think sometimes we as veterans might think, well, what the heck do I have to offer? And
right.
And knowing, you know, you have all those skills in you, you just maybe aren't promoting them or advocating yourself in the right way to realize that you've got more to bring to the table, and that's why somebody coaching like you're doing is so important.
Yep, absolutely.
Is Roush seeing a increase or a decrease in interest from the veteran community as we, you know, continue on in one of our longest wars ever?
I think we are definitely seeing an increase because I think I read something over the next 5 years. Michigan is an area, a state where quite a few folks have joined the military. So over the next 5 years, there's going to be a drawdown, and there's going to be more vets. They're going to be coming home. They're finishing their time honorably, and they'll be home and they'll be looking for jobs. So, with us being a gold level employer in the state of Michigan, our interest is always up there. We're looking to hire, and we love the fact that veterans are seeking us out looking for jobs.
Well, we want to encourage everybody to go to Roush. That's Roush.com. Go to their careers tab, click on that. You can find your way to John Gardner that way. And, John, we want to thank you for taking a little time today to talk to Veterans Radio.
I appreciate it, and I would love to come back whenever you'll have me. And I love taking care of our fellow veterans. Thank you, sir.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.